all kinds of new stuff coming out from Apple. We're recording the 98th podcast, and we've got a lot to talk about.
We've got an interview with John Martellaro.
And we've got the segments from the mini podcast.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
So much Apple goodness, I'm not even sure where to start, but let's get into the Showtime event, and it's Showtime! The big news, of course, is the iTV. Everybody has been speculating on a Apple set-top box in the living room for probably, I don't know, 3-4 years now?
Yep.
And looks like we're going to get it.
Just not quite yet.
Just not yet. And that's fine. If they need to work on it a little bit more before they release it into the wild and I can pick one up, that's okay. But $299 is going to be the price.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, and I like the footprint because it's not... It doesn't look like a PC.
It looks like a mini-mini.
Yeah.
It's the mini-mini.
It's the mini-mini.
I think they just should call it that, the mini-mini.
The media mini.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Media mini. Media Mac? But it's not really a Mac. It's just a relay with a front row type of interface to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Airport for movies? I don't know.
We'll have to see how it actually works in practice, but... Knowing Apple and knowing their level of innovation and the way they can just seamlessly get things to work together that you would never think would work together in the first place. Mm-hmm. I mean, we take for granted that we can pull up our entire iTunes library while we're working in iMovie to drop it into our movie just like that.
That's right.
But we can.
Mm-hmm.
We take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a feature when Apple came out with iLife. I think, what was that? iLife 04 that started.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 03. After a while, it gets confusing. We just went, wow, it's all seamlessly integrated. And, oh, that's just great. We take that for granted now, but it wasn't always like that. So how will they do with the iTV? I think they'll probably do pretty well. I think it's exactly what people are looking for, and I think that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, and unlike, say, competitors like, say, Microsoft and Vista, we'll probably see it before 2009.
So. Yeah. This will probably still come out before Vista. God, wouldn't that be embarrassing? It really would. The other big announcement, there are so many big announcements, but the other announcement let's talk about right now is the new iPods. We have the Generation 5.5. It's not really the sixth generation iPod. They're the same size as the current generation, except they come in different size. 80 gigabyte iPod.
Yeah.
$349. That's a hell of a price drop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about this for a minute. The other iPod competitors were always a little bit cheaper than the iPod, right? Not anymore. Top of the line iPod, $349, 80 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a 60 gigabyte, and I don't quite fill that up. I've always got, even with all the podcasts and the video podcasts I download, I always have right around 5 gigs available.
Right.
80 gigs. That's just amazing. I don't know. I'm sure somebody out there has, well, probably Robert Hazelrig. He has a huge music collection because he emails me about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the size. It's the quality, Robert. Just because yours is bigger than mine doesn't mean you can use it. No, anyways. It's 80 gigs is just so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fantastic. I'm really excited to have so much extra storage because the other announcement is movies.
Yep, and you're going to need that space if you're going to jam it full of movies.
Movies are going to take a lot of space on the iPod, and thus an 80 gig iPod is going to be pretty much you're going to have.
Yep.
And it's only going to get bigger as time goes on.
Sure.
I mean, how much did I spend for my first iPod? I think it was $499 and it was like a 5 gig.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing looks like a brick now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, Apple introduced them. They all have the more vibrant 2.5-inch color display, and that's, as Apple says, perfect for watching TV shows and now Hollywood movies.
Yep.
Well, I don't know about perfect, but...
Well, I agree. Not perfect. I think...
I like to see the brightness.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's brighter. How much brighter? 60%. 60% is... pretty damn bright.
Yeah.
But bright doesn't always necessarily mean it's a better picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious to get my hands on one, which I probably will when we go up to the Apple Store for our 100th podcast on September 23rd, 3 p.m., Grand Rapids, Michigan, the Apple Store. Man, I don't know what to think. The 30 gig iPod model is now $249.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good price. But the iPod Nanos are now, why don't they just go back to the mini name, iPod Mini?
Because there's not a mini anymore.
But it should be, because if you look at the new Nanos,
they're basically minis.
They have the
mini
rounded
minis.
They have the rounded corners.
They've got the aluminum case.
They're all different colors.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a mini.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, we can't have two mini minis on the show. But that's what it really looks like. It looks like a mini.
Yeah.
iPod Mini, I still think, is a better name than iPod Nano. I've never been in love with the Nano name, as long-term listeners will know.
Well, and Nano implies something smaller than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and they have a Shuffle, which maybe that should be the new Nano, and then the...
Have you looked at the Shuffle?
I saw the pictures that Bill Palmer posted.
It's slightly bigger than a quarter.
I know.
That's just amazing. I mean, they're $79... There's not two models like before. You remember before in the other Shuffles, they were 512 and 1 gig.
Yep.
The new ones is only one model. They're 1 gig, the $79.
Mm-hmm.
That's a stocking stuffer at this point, isn't it?
Oh, pretty much.
I mean, 240. We take it for granted a gigabyte. Ooh, that's not much because, you know, they got that big 80 gigabyte hard drives now, or mine's like, 60.
Mm-hmm.
But a gigabyte of music, 200 and some songs. Almost 250 songs on there.
Yeah, but if you're like a runner, like say John Nemo.
Well, how many hours is 200 and? Well, you better be running a marathon to listen to 250 songs.
Yeah, but it's so small, you just clip it onto your shirt. You don't have to worry about a sleeve or something.
I'm wondering how often these things are going to be going through the wash.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty durable because of that size, they will be going through.
Apple,
I can't tell you how many times I've sent my USB drive through the wash.
Yeah, it still works though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we can only hope that the Nanos
are that durable. Yeah.
It's just so small. I think that's going to be a huge, huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $80 for a 1 gigabyte Nano. That just kills the entire rest of the flash drive MP3 market. Just kills them.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cool. You know what it looks like? It looks like the remote that you can get for the iPod. You know that little square remote that you can get for the pause play?
No little Griffin things?
Well, no.
It's not Griffin. Apple sold it.
Yeah. That's what it looks like. It looks like one of those little remotes. And it's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what happens when flash memory comes down in price and goes up in capacity to the point where you can have 80 gigabytes like that. You don't need an iPod as big as they are right now. Or you can have one that, you know, is a terabyte.
But I think when you get to that size and you're looking at that price point, people are still going to be wanting a screen.
I think so.
When you're storing that much information on there or that many songs, you're going to want to pick and choose what you can watch.
Yeah, I agree. And the music or the movie downloads really isn't going to help you if you're a Shuffle fan.
Right. Maybe
you can hear it, but that's about it. I don't even think it would sync with it. The other big news, of course, was iTunes movies. You can only Disney movies, which is Touchstone and Miramax.
Pixar, Miramax, and Disney.
Yeah. And who is the largest stockholder of Disney again? I kind of forget.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. So it's surprising. So Disney jumps on board before anybody else, and they did with the TV, too.
Right.
A lot of people forget Disney owns ABC.
And ESPN.
Yeah. And they were some of the first programs you can buy TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Desperate Housewives, Lost. Remember they had those free ESPN commercials?
Yep.
That was some of the first video content you could buy in the iTunes Music Store TV section.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have movies. What's the first thing? Disney again.
Yep.
How long before the other companies jump in? I don't think it's going to take very long.
No.
I mean, now it's so commonplace to be looking at a Mac News site and seeing, oh, you know, this network now has 20 new shows in the iTunes Music Store. And you're like, yeah, okay, whatever, yawn.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that big a deal. It is a big deal because if you go there and you want to watch something, man, there's just so much to watch on TV and iTunes. Movies has to follow suit. Hollywood does not want to give up a potential very lucrative new distribution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's... And we talked to John Malauulu earlier. The listeners will hear it later in the show.
Right.
I don't think it's going to cannibalize CD sales.
Mm-hmm.
As many people that have...
Or DVD sales.
DVD, yeah.
Right.
As many people who have iPods, that's a very small fraction compared to how many people have DVD players.
Right.
So I don't think it's going to hurt their DVD sales at all.
Right. And one of the points that you'd brought up when we were talking to John is the portability factor. I mean, people like to be able to swap DVDs with their friends and family.
Yeah.
If it's a movie you haven't seen, you can loan it out to them. And that's something that you won't be able to do with the stuff you download on iTunes.
Right, because I'm not handing you my iPod and saying, here, watch this movie, Chad.
And I'm not going to sit there and watch an hour and a half long movie on an iPod.
No. A TV show, an hour TV show is, what, 40 minutes, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a 40-minute video that you watch, a little TV show. That's one thing. And even that, chances are you're going to break it up into maybe a couple viewings. That's what I do. Movies are just, that's a different beast entirely. But, of course, you don't have to watch them on your iPod.
This is true.
You can watch them on your Mac.
And if you've got a brand new 24-inch Intel iMac, that's a perfect venue for
watching that. How great would it be to be a student in a small dorm room with a 24-inch iMac, being able to download videos?
Mm-hmm.
And these videos are coming in at 640 by 480, much bigger than the original, what was it, 230 by 320 or something like that? Just crappy size.
Mm-hmm.
So the new ones, a lot better resolution. So I was reading reports of people saying that it's near DVD quality. I actually downloaded one. I haven't watched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it on the iPod, but that's really not an indication of how good it's going to look.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to checking it out, seeing how it looks. And I'll give a status report on the next podcast.
Cool.
So movies. New iPods, ITV,
mm-hmm.
and the last, but not that, certainly not the least, is games for your iPod.
That's right. We talked
now,
about that.
I've actually bought two. I bought Tetris and Pac-Man, so I'm going to let you go ahead. It's already sitting right there in games. Go ahead and give Pac-Man a try and give me your honest opinion. It's going to continue the game that I already started, unless it gives you the option of starting a new game. I'm not sure. I played it for a little bit. And it does have a little bit of a long load screen. You would think that it would just pop right up and ready to go. How big is a video game?
Mm-hmm.
Does it give you a resume?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now Chad's playing the game. It's trying to use a scroll wheel. Oh, he got the cherry. Good job, Chad.
You know, the scroll wheel is not as bad as I thought it would be.
Do you think it's... obviously, this is a game that was designed back in the early 80s to be used with a joystick.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that for control schemes on video games that the iPod scroll wheel is not ideal. You're not going to be playing, you know, Grand Theft Auto or Tom Clancy or any of those kind of games.
No, I think the more complicated games from the big boxes you probably won't find here, but there's a lot of web-based games that actually have fairly simple controls.
Mahjong and Tetris. And
yeah.
So that's Pac-Man. Why don't you bring up Tetris, see what you think. Now, obviously no one's hearing this because we don't have speakers hooked up to the iPod right now, and that's probably a good thing. I haven't heard the sound on these games yet. So you hit the menu button a couple times, goes back, and go to Tetris.
Yeah, basically just like navigating out of a
cell phone. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of very cell phone-ish type of games.
Yeah.
I play Tetris all the time on my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all the time, but quite often. It's the one game that I actually have on my cell phone that I enjoy. Is it loading up still, Tetris?
Loading up. It's just finished loading.
And made by EA. So you can resume, yeah. Now, you can see that you can move it. Now, I believe the one's a fast scroll down. I think the bottom is a fast scroll. And I think pushing the middle button is a slow crawl down or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. So what do you think? Oh, you can switch it by left and right. Rotate the bricks.
Got it. Oh, that's fine for Tetris. I mean, Tetris isn't a real complicated game that requires a lot of control anyways. Nice looking, though.
Very nice. I think the screen looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah. The colors are really good.
Now, if this was a true video iPod that we've seen, you know, the pretend mock-ups for, where the screen's like 3.5 inches, you rotate it to the side with a virtual scroll wheel, wouldn't that just be fantastic?
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool. Unfortunately, that's...
Somewhere in the future.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
We don't know. So that's all the new stuff from Apple that I could think of. I feel like I'm forgetting something, and I'm sure I will be listening to this later going, oh, I can't believe we didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
We've just been extremely... Oh, there was updates to QuickTime.
Yep.
And that's pretty much necessary because if you're going to use some of the new movies and stuff like that in iTunes, you have to have the new QuickTime. Front Row was updated.
Yep.
And that's up to version 1.3.
And they've got NFL highlights, so...
In the
iTunes Music Store.
Yeah, that's cool. We didn't do a Mac Mini podcast last week, or this week, mm-hmm. simply because, well, mitigating factors, and we didn't put one out. But right. instead of waiting to put all the segments for the show that should have...
We're just going to drop them in this one.
We're going to put them on the main show here. I hate saying the main show because there's nothing main about this than that right. one's... Anyways, Guy Searle has been doing the Dashboard Minute for a long time now, mm-hmm. almost a year. In fact, I think it is over a year because he skipped a couple episodes there.
Yep.
The last one he's doing is Show 50.
Mm-hmm.
That started on the main show here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be more than
appropriate
to finish the Dashboard Minute on this show.
Okay.
Before we do that, I just wanted to thank my smalldog.com for sponsoring our podcast.
As well as InnoTech for hosting our podcast.
Yep. If you're looking to buy Mac gear, iPod gear, all this new Mac stuff, all this new Apple stuff is available at smalldog.com, so go check them out.
Yep. And if you're looking for a great web hosting service, check out InnoTech, InnoTech.com.
Welcome to the last Dashboard Minute. Here on the My Mac Mini Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the last Dashboard Minute. Show number 50. As promised, this will be the last one. I'm going to spend some time today to talk about the very, very best of the widgets that I've run into over the last 50 shows. I've kind of done that a couple times as we've been going on, but one last little review. And don't really worry about trying to write down all the links and all the rest of that. They'll all be in the show notes. Okay, speaking of kind of cool widgets, let's start off with an internet search type widget. This was created by David Richmond from the redwork.org site, and it's called the Jack widget, which is short for Jack of all widgets. He made his widget, which doesn't look too different from any other search widgets, just a little bit unusual. Instead of just one service or information request, he included over two dozen that you can choose from a drop-down menu. Shopping, information, people, facts. It's all here. And if you go to the redwork.org site, there's some more information on how to add the ones that you like. If you don't want to bother, you're still in good shape because the Jack widget will likely cover almost every topic you might be interested in. So find this one at redwork.org and, of course, at apple.com. Okay, next up, if you spend a lot of time cutting and pasting between documents, especially if you're going to use the same image again and again, here's a really good widget. It's called iClip Lite, and it's from inventive.us. This is a very easy-to-use widget. It allows you to save your images for reuse, but also internet addresses, text, and most anything else that can be copied and pasted between documents. You don't even have to clear one to use another, as there's multiple clip bins. This one is very handy and very useful. It's the iClip Lite widget. It's a universal binary, and you can find it at inventive.us and also at dashboardwidgets.com and the Apple's dashboard download site. Another one that people will probably find useful, especially if they're keyboard jockeys and that they don't like to use their mouse very much but want to know all the keyboard shortcuts. It's called XCuts, and it's from Leland Scott at the Musing from Mars website. XCut shows all the keyboard-specific shortcuts for most general needs. It doesn't go into applications for their shortcuts, but lists all the ones created by Apple or OS X. The database for the widget is part of the widget, and it will go online for updates as necessary. It uses some pretty cool effects for sliding between different menu choices, and you can choose from seeing all the shortcuts or switch to categories like data processing or user interfaces. Find this at the Musing from Mars website or the ever-popular Apple Dashboard download page. Okay, here's a great one from the good people at the Weatherbug group, and it's called, shocker, Weatherbug. It's a weather forecasting widget, kind of similar to what Apple gives you, but I think this one's a little bit better. It gives you the temperature range over the next 5 days, along with chances for showers or snow or other weekend-ruining phenomena. And it does a little bit more than that. It also gives you the current temperature and weather conditions, and for good measure, throws in wind speed and direction. You basically enter your zip code and click on the closest weather reporting station. It's really, really cool, and I think it's one that belongs in most people's dashboards. It's from the Weatherbug group, and it's a 507K download. Find it at weatherbug.com or at Apple's dashboard update site. One I talked about on an earlier best of show is the widget update and the application update widget, but it deserves one more mention. They're both by George Candle, and they're free, but the author does request a PayPal donation. And like I've told you before, what these widgets do is something really, really cool. It keeps track of the widgets that you have and will automatically go out to various sites and find all the latest versions of them. And the nice thing is for the application update is it does the same thing for everything that's in your application folder. It's really, really cool the way they work. Some of them take a little more work than others, but these are two widgets that should be in yours and everybody else's dashboard dock. Next up is a widget by Luke Burton, which is called the Virtual Earth widget. This connects to MSN's Virtual Earth web feature and gives you a bird's eye view of almost any address you put in. You can get as close as 30 yards away. I actually put in my own address and saw my wife's car in the picture. Of course, the picture was old, but you get the point. You can basically zero in up to 30 yards away from almost any place on Earth that has satellite pictures available. Get this widget. It's a good one. This next widget has been on Apple's dashboard site's top 10 list for a long time, and it's well-deserved. It's the iStat Nano widget. An odd name, but it really, really gives you a lot of good stuff for you hardcore computer geeks. You get CPU statistics, hard drive, and memory usage. Also gives you idle processes, hard drives for what's used and what's free on all of your disks, active, inactive, and free RAM statistics, network information including your IP address and potential file transfer speeds, open programs and how much CPU usage each program is currently using, how long your computer has been up, temperature from each sensor in your machine, and how charged your battery is if you're running it off of a laptop. All this from one widget. If you click the Info button, you can actually select from 6 different skins for the widget, and also choose between 3 different temperature settings. Of course, most people are going to choose the temperature settings that makes, you know, that's the most comfortable for them, and no reason why they shouldn't. It's the iStat Nano widget, and it's from Brad Gale and Mark Edwards. Definitely a keeper. Okay, another one that's along the lines of a utility is the Main Tidget widget, and it's from Giant Mike at the GiantMike.com website. Basically, all the tasks that your computer would normally do if you just left it in sleep mode, this will do anytime you want. So if there's any of them that you've missed, or you're just lazy, or you just don't know, you can just select them all, and it'll do the daily, weekly, and monthly maintenance scheduled tasks that are supposed to run. Type in your admin password, and the Main Tidget widget will remove all old logs, junk, and scratch files. This is a great widget. If you have a large iTunes collection that you've ripped from your own personal CDs, you'll appreciate this widget. It's the Amazon Album Art widget, and it's courtesy of the good people at the Widget Foundry. What this does is nothing that you couldn't do via Safari and iTunes, but this takes all the guesswork out of it and will save you a lot of time. Just open iTunes, select a song that doesn't have any album art, then go to Dashboard, open the Amazon Album Art widget. Put in the artist's name and hit enter or return. Amazon Album Art will soon return with all the available album covers. While it might make sense to select the actual album cover that the chosen song was featured in, you don't really have to. You can put any album cover on there that you want, but this is a great widget, and it will really, really make people happy that like to have their album covers in their own personal collection. Okay, here's the last two for the evening. Actually, the last two for a long time. The iSudoku widget is a game where you have to select 9 numbers into a bunch of little blocks. If you like the game Sudoku, you'll like this widget. The last one I'm going to talk about tonight is one that's called A2B. This is an online mapping type of widget, and you basically put in the address of one place and then the address of the place you're trying to get to, and it'll give you clear directions on how to get there. This is a really, really cool widget. And, you know, just go to the MyMac mini podcast show notes and you'll see all of the links for all of the widgets that I've talked about tonight. Okay, that's it. That was the last Dashboard Minute. I'd like to thank Tim and Chad for giving me the opportunity to do this over the last 50 shows. And I'd like to thank all of you for all of your support and kind letters and emails and compliments that I've gotten over the last year or so. If anything comes out that's really, really cool, I'll bring this back very, very briefly, but you won't see this anymore for probably quite a while. And I hope you'll join me starting in the next week or so with Not Mac News. So we'll see you hopefully in Grand Rapids, and Not Mac News is on the way. Thank you all very, very much from the bottom of my heart.
Hi, my name is Ivan Marshall. I'm from Southfield, Michigan, and I own a 20-inch iMac Intel from the January 2006 model. I bought it in May of 2006. I bought a 20-inch screen, and it has the 2.0 gigahertz Core Duo chip in it. And I noticed that the new iMacs have slightly lower prices, twice the amount of L2 cache, 4 megabytes now instead of 2. And the 24-inch screen, which is the biggest improvement. It's not very much improvement from the 2.0 gigahertz to the 2.16 Core 2 Duo, maybe 10% or so. I'm not a serious video editor or 3D type person. Photoshop is about the most strenuous thing that I do, that and InDesign. The rest is music and web and photographs and things like that, like everybody else. I don't think it's a big enough speed increase where a person, even with a G5 iMac, will go out and make another purchase. But it's nice that the price is coming down and the machine is at a very serious price point where the machine can be taken seriously now that it's not wild colors or anything anymore. A business person or a person running a small business or a design firm would have enough power to use an iMac and still be satisfied with the look, being professional enough to want in their business. I think it's a great machine. I think the price and the new chips are fantastic, but it's not enough speed increase for a person with a current machine to buy that new machine. Enjoy your podcast. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Ivan. And Ivan's becoming a staple on the show now, isn't he?
Yeah, it's the second time on.
Absolutely, and he's in Michigan, too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll be fortunate enough and
he'll swing on up to the Apple Store. It's kind of a drive from Southfield.
That is. But, hey, we've got free swag to give away.
That's right.
We do have a special announcement on this podcast about our 100th episode. If you don't notice, I keep going to twirl my wedding ring.
Which you normally do and you don't have on right now.
Yeah, I took a shower right before I came here and I took it off and it's driving me crazy. The special announcement is, and it's kind of simple actually, mm-hmm. After the show, we're recording in Grand Rapids, Michigan on September 23rd between 3 and 4 p.m.,
yep.
Not a.m., obviously. After the show, we have reservations at the Grand Rapids Brewery.
Another. Grand Rapids Brewing Company, which is just down the road on 28th Street, just east of the Woodland Mall.
It's right off the main street. You can't miss it. I mean, yeah. it's So what that's going to be is that's going to be a meet and greet.
That's right.
Obviously, Guy Searle and I are going to be there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it's going to rain and Chad will have to cancel his family plans and he'll be there. I'm holding out hope. And obviously, you can drink if you want. We're not buying your drinks.
Yeah, you're going to have to fund that yourself.
You're
going
to have to fund that yourself. But here's the reason we're doing that. I don't know how Apple's going to feel with us giving away almost $2,000 worth of free Apple gear,
mm-hmm.
stuff that works with your Mac or your iPod. Yeah. Apple may not be real keen on giving that much stuff away. They might say, you can give a couple things away, but let's not give everything away.
Right.
If that happens, well, even if it doesn't happen, we're still going to go to the Grand Rapids.
Right.
What is it called?
Grand Rapids Brewing Company.
Brewing Company.
But if for some reason we can't do the giveaways at the Apple Store,
excuse me,
and you want to get in on that, we are opening up the whole Grand Rapids Brewing Company, at least part of it.
We're going to be, we'll continue the podcast there. We may not even record anything there, but I think we probably will.
Yeah.
But that's where we'll give away the rest of the Mac stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you can't make it quite, if you say you got to work till 4 o'clock and you just can't get to the Apple Store between 3 and 4,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be at the Grand Rapids Brewery Company right afterwards. So, yep. And we've got it for at least an hour and a half or so. So it's going to be a meet and greet. Much more low-key, having fun, giving the rest of the stuff away if need be, that sort of thing. So.
And meeting you folks who listen to the podcast.
And hopefully, I know there's a few people that say they're going to come. Anything could happen.
Right.
You know, there may be nobody there that listens to our show. Might be two or three people. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, because we are worldwide, and obviously Klaus isn't going to fly in from Germany to come to the show.
Yeah.
You know, David Cohen's not going to come in from London to check at us. But if you live somewhere in the area, by all means, show up, and you have a really good chance of getting something.
That's right.
And we've got the meet and greet afterwards. We want to thank the Grand Rapids Brewery Company for supplying us with the location for our meet and greet. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple more features that we want to kick into the show, and let's go ahead and listen to, let's see, Robert had done a really cool segment for the mini podcast that we didn't play, obviously, called Leopard Features Today.
Cool.
Let's take a listen.
Yeah.
Robert Hazelrig here with another speedy review. So I'm sure you've heard about all the cool features that are coming in Leopard, right? Did you know there are a handful of shareware applications out there right now that can give you some of those cool features? Well, there are. Let me tell you about a couple of them. First off is Chax. Chax is spelled C-H-A-X, and it's a plugin for iChat. It doesn't give you that cool green screen that the next version of iChat will give you, but it does give you a lot of the other features, such as animated icons and tabbed chat sessions. Next up is an application from a company called MacTank, and they make a product called Mail Template. Mail Template works in Apple Mail. It also works in Entourage. The templates it provides you with aren't quite as slick as what I saw in the Apple preview of the upcoming Apple Mail, but if you need to build a consistent template, that definitely is a shareware app that'll do it for you. Next on the list is my favorite replacement for what's coming in Leopard, and that would be the replacement to Spaces. If you've never heard of a company called USoftware, you really should. USoftware makes a number of good software titles. My favorite is UControl. UControl has a number of handy features. The one feature that I use most frequently is the news reader. It is an RSS news feed reader that sits up in your menu bar at the top of your screen. What's nice about this is it looks like a regular pull-down menu. So when I'm at work and I want to check the news feeds, I can do so without anybody being the wiser. It looks like I'm just pulling down any other drop-down menu. They also have a title called UControl Fonts, which allows you to look at your fonts from the same type of pull-down menu. And they also have a free version of UControl, which just works with your iTunes. So if you want to put your iTunes controls up in your menu bar, that can be handy for some people too. But none of those replace Spaces. The one that replaces Spaces is UControl Desktop. UControl Desktop works almost exactly like Spaces from what I could tell from the demonstration that Steve Jobs gave. I really like UControl Desktops, and I really like U Software. Oh, and yes, I really like U too. Oh, not the band. I meant you, the listener. I like the band too. Let's get back on topic. So, how do you get the coolest feature in Leopard today? I'm talking about Time Machine. Well, you can't. But I do know a software application that will allow you to extract files that have been deleted from your machine. Of course, I'm talking about ProSoft's Data Rescue 2. Data Rescue 2 is a great app. It's usually compared to disk repair utilities like Disk Warrior, and I'm not knocking Disk Warrior. Disk Warrior is a great application, but Disk Warrior patches your disk. Data Rescue actually recovers the information on your disk. Difference? Well, a data repair utility always has the small risk of actually damaging some of the data. Data Rescue never has that problem because it's never actually writing to the disk that you're trying to extract the information from. That's why you need a second disk. In order to use Data Rescue successfully, you will need some form of a second disk drive. A second hard drive would be optimal. The cool thing about Data Rescue is it can actually go back and recover certain items that have been written over or deleted through normal usage. Now, your results may vary, and they don't really guarantee that it's going to recover every single file if your drive goes bad or if it's been written over, but it will bring files back from the dead. We can't replace the 64-bit architecture with a shareware application, nor can we do that with the core animation. However, if you know of any shareware or pro applications that will replace features in the new Dashboard, Spotlight, iCal, or Accessibility, please write to me at robert@mymac.com. All of the software I mentioned in today's review have a try before you buy trial feature that you'll be able to link to from the links on the mymac.com website. Thanks for listening. This has been Robert Hazelrig with another speedy review.
And we're back, and we got John Martellaro on the phone. John Martellaro writes for mymac.com, Mac Observer, and I hear you're writing for somebody else now, John.
Yeah, I talked to Joe Ryan a while back, and he invited me to resume writing the Warp Core column over at the Apple Links.
When was the last Warp Core published at Apple Links? What was that, probably 2001, 2002?
The last big Warp Core was right before I went to work for Apple in August of 2000. And then I started writing some science fiction over there. It was the Quantum Threads column.
Mm-hmm.
But the Apple commentary pretty much had to come to an end when I went to work for Apple in August 2000.
Yeah, they kind of frown upon that, I would imagine.
Well,
so it's been 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, how time flies.
Is the bride prettier than the second marriage?
You mean the second tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started out as a senior marketing manager and was working for the sales marketing group. And then I switched over to the federal sales team. And in a way, the federal sales team was more fun because I got to travel all over the country and visit all my favorite places. Oak Ridge National Laboratory, where I used to work, became my customer. I've been to Tucson, the Kitt Peak Observatory, into the RAND Corporation in Santa Monica and Brookhaven out on Long Island. And I got all around the country seeing all these famous institutions and talking to the scientists, and it was great. I enjoyed it.
So Apple comes out with a bunch of new products over the last 2 weeks, and we definitely want to get your opinion on it. But more than anything, I want to talk to you about the iTV, which I know is just a... That's not going to be the final name, but initially, at least for me, I think the specs look pretty cool. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see an HDMI plug back there. It says they're looking forward to high-definition TV, even though currently it's not available to the iTunes store. And so I kind of wonder myself what's going on there. I think we'll go through a couple phases. I think some of the movie studios will fold and panic. Probably going to write an article pretty soon here called Hollywood in Panic Mode, because they're seeing how this is going to take off, and it's coherent, and Apple has a plan, everything works. People are going to be anxious to play their movies on their iPods, and nobody else is doing much of anything. And, of course, the Amazon solution is locked onto your PC. You can't walk around with an iPod in your pocket. So I think there's going to be just sort of a shaking out, and we'll see other movie studios fold rather quickly. You know, they pointed out, I don't know if Steve pointed it out, but other people pointed out that Apple started with movies. I'm sorry, they started with TV shows on a very limited basis. What was it, Lost and Desperate Housewives?
Yeah, pretty much just the ABC stuff.
Yeah, through leaps and bounds. So, you know, Disney's the seed, and then all the other studios get jealous, and they're worried that Disney's going to get a leg up on them, and Apple and Disney are just going to own this market, and so you'll see a quick regrouping and folding. But it'll probably be standard definition movies for a while. There's some issues with how long it takes to download high-def movies, let alone getting them over from your Mac to your ITV and onto the screen. So we still have to go through some maturing in the technologies.
I'm wondering, obviously 640 by 480 picture quality isn't going to be the best, but, you know, I kind of think for a lot of people that's going to be good enough. But you know what? When you can buy the DVD and it's going to cost you the same price as downloading it from the iTunes Music Store, do you really see a big demand for new releases on the iTunes Music Store, or do you think it's going to be more or less the older stuff is going to be the big sellers?
Well, it's hard to say. I kind of get the feeling that there are some people who have enough expendable income that they want to just play with the technology, and they'll just mess around. For example, Gene Steinberg this morning just downloaded a movie just for the fun of it, just to see how good it was, you know, $10. Other people tend to get into accumulation mode where, you know, one person wants to say, well, I've got all these movies on my iPod and you don't. You know, and so sometimes it boils down to social issues as opposed to technology issues. I did a calculation a while back, and it seemed to me like when you're sitting in your living room and you're looking at a 40-inch screen, the view angle is about the same as hand-holding something that's 4 or 5 inches in your hand at maybe 12 or 15 inches. And so we're a long way from having a screen that you can hold in your hand that gives you the same apparent feel as a decent TV.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to focus on those mathematical and physical issues. I think people just enjoy having movies in their pockets and showing them to friends. And for a time I was saying, well, you know, only people who were watching stuff on their iPod was when they were commuting to work and somebody else was driving in the carpool, and they could catch up with last night's episode of Lost in the back seat or something like that. But now we're talking about 90 or 120 minute theatrical movies, and
quite a difference.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure that most sane technical adults are interested, but I'm sure a lot of other people are interested for other reasons.
But you know, with buying movies in the iTunes Music Store, that DRM is really tying you to Apple solutions to view it. You can't burn a DVD from it. You can't go and watch it in your kitchen on that DVD player. You can't burn Dumbo to a DVD and let your kids go watch it in their room on their DVD player. You are tied to the Apple solution, and that's it. Just like you are, well, not so much, because at least with the music, you can burn a CD and listen to it anywhere. But with the video content, you're tied to Apple solution to view it, or you don't view it at all. And I don't know if people are really ready to do that with with movies. Television station or television series are one thing, because those generally are, you view it once and that's it.
Right.
You know, to catch up on Lost, like you were saying, John, but movies are something different. That's a different type of viewing experience. And when you can go to Walmart and pick up used DVD, well, brand new DVDs, just a little older, for $4.50 to $5.50, why would you want to spend $10 and be restricted in the iTunes music store? Do you see that as a viable opinion, or do you think?
Yeah, I do, because my feeling is that lots of people have different perceptions about what they want to accumulate. There are some people who have a sort of a Star Trek mentality where they want to have a paperless office and everything needs to be on the computer and they're going to beam it to the TV. There are other people who are more traditional and they like having a plastic jacket and they've got a bookcase near their television and they want to have their favorite movies in one of those containers on the bookshelf to impress their friends and neighbors when they come over. So I think it's a mixture, and I think as long as the channel becomes viable, as long as people shop for the fun of it at Walmart and like to pick up a $4.99 movie on Saturday night, you know, they're going to continue pushing on all fronts, on all channels until there's a shakeout. It might be 5 years before people come around to the realization that they really don't need to buy bits in the store anymore. They can purchase electrons from the iTunes store.
What about chapters? That's a big thing for me. And well, DVDs, you get the bonus material, you get deleted scenes. And for a lot of movies, the most important thing is the chapters. You can go directly to what you want to see.
Yeah.
You can't do that with the iTunes Music Store, but thankfully there's no trailers and no commercials either.
This is
so
true.
So do you see that coming as a feature in iTunes eventually, that it will support chapters and even like DVD type of menus?
Yeah, I think there's more to come on this. This is all a trial ground. You know, the last article I wrote at the Mac Observer was Steve's Awakening. It's been a tough year for Steve. I think it was obvious at WWDC that he didn't have time to rehearse a lot for the keynote. People stood in for Steve, and then when he finally came back, they realized that they had done all the rehearsing, and Steve was busy in L.A. talking to Hollywood guys. They should just go ahead and do what they had rehearsed. It's been a rough and it's been an eye-opening year for Steve trying to get those guys turned around. They're scared. They're concerned about piracy. They don't want Apple to control their outlets. They're trying everything they can to be successful on all fronts. We'll just have to see what shakes out. My prediction is that the Apple people are going to have so much fun, and it's going to work so well, and it's going to be such a discussion item. It's going to be sort of like Mac OS X versus Vista. You know, people are going to be walking in the office and go, yeah, I was watching a movie last night on my high-def TV, iTunes, you know, downloaded it, this and that. And the guys are grumbling and going, oh, my Vista doesn't even stay up long enough to even watch the movie. You know, so I think there'll be this percolation of excellence that Mac OS X has, and then people will start getting interested, and the studios will come around.
How long do you do until another studio signs up in the music store to you? Do you think it's going to be pretty quickly, or do you think they're going to kind of hold their ground and see how Disney, Apple does, or do you think they're going to go, you know what, we need to get on this while it's still hot and something new, and we can get a lot of good PR for jumping in now?
Well, you know, one of the things that Steve is probably doing is he's staying in contact. One of the things you do when you're a salesman is when somebody turns you away at first, it's because they're not ready to buy your product, but that doesn't mean it's true for all time. So, you know, any salesman follows up with a customer, and Steve, having been involved with Pixar, he knows a lot of the personalities and a lot of guys. And in about, 6-8 weeks, he's going to call him up, and he's going to say, hey, Harold, how you doing? It's your old buddy Steve up here at Cupertino. You know, we sold 67 million movies in the last 30 days. How you doing?
One of the things I don't...
Well, Steve, we ain't doing so hot.
I don't see the iTunes Music Store cannibalizing DVD sales at all. I don't see it even a little bit.
Yeah.
I did download a movie. I bought a new movie, The Greatest Game. Shia LaBeouf or somebody like that. It's a golf movie.
Mm-hmm.
there's no way I would have ever bought that DVD. I probably would never even have rented it. I may have watched it if it came out on HBO or Showtime, but that's doubtful. But it was an impulse buy. I haven't watched it yet, so I can't tell you the quality or anything like that. So I don't see I don't see Apple cannibalizing DVD sales. Do you think that's going to eventually happen?
There was that chart that Steve showed that they were getting ready to overcome Amazon on DVD sales and move into spot number 4, or was it CD sales for music? I think it was. I don't remember, but I think there'll be a splintering. I think there'll be people who have their DVD player plugged into their old 720p TV, and they'll have it for years and years and years, and they'll think that's fine. And then there'll be people who'll be moving ahead, and they'll be buying Blu-rays, and they'll be doing movies on iTunes, and you know, and there'll be this small market of technical surging ahead that'll drag everybody forward by degrees. It sort of becomes like a sliding technology curve. So we're just at the beginning of this.
Isn't this an exciting time to be an Apple watcher? To see, because I don't think it's not that they're pouncing on something and they devour it right then. Apple is making and taking very small baby steps in everything they do, and then it gradually grows and snowballs until they become this dominant powerhouse. Yeah. They did it with music. They did it with, and like John was, like you were just saying, John, with, they started with Lost and Desperate Housewives. And then
and they also started with just a few of the retail stores. Remember everybody said that Apple's retail stores are going to be a failure just like Gateways?
Yep. Yeah. Yep, I do remember that. And
Apple does a very good job of testing the waters and examining the return on investment.
Yeah.
And, well, I think the other thing
they're snowballing.
Yeah, I think the other thing they're very smart about with a lot of their retail outlets is that they do not take up a lot of retail space. And I think that was one of Gateway's problems. If you went into a Gateway store, a lot of times they would build these things up from the ground up and they would be large.
Yeah.
I mean, like the size of a record store and not the size of
a boutique,
which is what your average Apple store is.
Yeah.
With the exception of the flagships, but
yeah, but you do need the big store. You need destination stores as well.
Mm-hmm.
But and unfortunately, we don't have one in our area.
Well, Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
I think one of the other problems is the carriers. You know, Walmart and Target are in good shape. They'll be selling that stuff for years, and some people like to have physical things, like to have physical books. But what worries me is the carriers, you know, DirecTV, Comcast, Time Warner. Those guys roll their money up. They're going to leave a lot of money at the bottom. And so they don't have a lot of money to invest in technologies. And so what they do is, like the cell phone companies, they, in order to make more money, they expand their services. And so you're inundated with more services than you can imagine, and hopefully you'll pick ones that make them money. And so all these carriers who had an idea that they were going to be supplying you with this service, all of a sudden they're realizing today that their balloon has burst.
Yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm.
We're running short on time, but I did want to get your opinion on both the 24-inch iMac. What do you think about that? The entry-level iMac starting at $999 and the iPod announcements today.
Well, you know, I think that that 24-inch iMac was called for because, you know, now you have a 1080p capable iMac. I think the 20-inch was not quite the high-definition ready screen, so they definitely wanted to get that piece of the puzzle into place. I was really disappointed, just between you and me and everybody else listening, that there wasn't that really cool 4-inch full-screen iPod that had the touch screen control.
I'm kind of surprised about that myself. They're not calling the new iPod the sixth generation, right?
No.
They're calling it 5.5. This is like the 5.5 generation.
One of the things I learned before we ran out of time is you always got to look to the engineering. Everybody wants what they want, but you got to sit down and do the math and the physics. So You want to run movies now instead of TV shows, all right? And 2 hours is not quite really good enough window. So they increased the battery life to 3.5 hours. They increased the brightness. And that's great, but how are you going to do a four-fold increase in screen area and still maintain all those factors? You can't. There just isn't enough power in the battery to do all those things.
Yeah.
But we're going to have substantially better batteries before we can go to that full-screen iPod like we saw in the rumors the day before.
Well, the last thing that didn't show up, and I know a lot of people were, once again, every time there's an Apple event, everybody says this is coming out, is the iPhone. I just don't see it happening. What do you think?
Oh, I think Mr. Wu, the investment analyst, is right on. I think we will see an iPhone. Absolutely. Cell phones are out of control. There's too much stuff going on the cell phones, and the companies are trying to sell you too many services, and they're too hard to use. And I think a lot of people would like to have a cell phone that's a joy to use, maintains their contact list in a very coherent way, syncs to their computer, has a bright, clean display, has a great user interface, plays some music. And the cell phone companies don't seem to be able to do that. So I think there's a big market for that. And even if Apple only sells to 5% of the market, they'll sell 30 million phones, which is $2 billion.
Wow.
It'd be nice to increase in their market share.
Yeah.
You can read John Martellaro's columns at mymac.com, of course, the Mac Observer, our buddies over there, and Apple Links once again. So congratulations on getting all over the place, and we really enjoy your writing, and thanks for coming on the show, John.
Thanks, John.
Hey, it was a pleasure, as always. Talk to you later, guys.
Once you get your new Gmail account going, which you can obtain with assistance from Tim Robertson or me by sending an email request either to tim@gmail.com or to nosnooze@gmail.com, the next thing you're going to want to do is to download the Firefox browser, which is available for free from getfirefox.com. That's all one word, getfirefox.com, and we'll put that link in our show notes for the My Mac Mini Podcast number 8. Then, once you're comfortable with your Gmail account and you're used to using the Firefox browser, which does have some features that are not available in your free Apple Safari browser, you're going to want to do something very, very unusual. Get a good night's sleep, wake up, do your calisthenics, eat a good breakfast, take your vitamins, don't forget some of that Trader Joe's chocolate that we've talked about, and then you're going to want to create an online, live, dynamic Google spreadsheet, which is available for free from spreadsheet or spreadsheets, singular or plural, it doesn't matter, spreadsheet.google.com. Excuse me if there's any weird background noise or I sound a little bit different than I normally do on Nemo's MyMac.com mini podcast reviews you can use that won't make you snooze, because there's an air conditioner running right above me. I'm not in my normal studio, even though I'm at home from vacation finally, because there's an electrical thunderstorm going on outside, and I don't want to go out to my office because I don't want to be blown up while I'm recording this mini podcast episode number 8. Now, why would any sane or normal person wake up and decide that they want to have an online dynamic spreadsheet? Well, if you've ever planned an event, such as a wedding or a party, if you've ever worked on your finances with your parents or children, if you've ever wanted to do any collaborative charts or calculations or lists with colleagues or students or teachers, an online spreadsheet is an actual miracle. Here at MyMac.com, we are using it to solve a problem that was really bugging us. We wanted to be able to keep track of our reviews, about who's reviewing what product, and when they get the product, and who the contact is, and when the review is posted, when the product gets sent back, if it needs to be returned. And so, with the help of Tim and Robert and a couple of others, we have created a spreadsheet so that we can track every single item that is pending or active for review in mymac.com, either on our website or in the podcast or the mini podcast or one of our earth-shattering video reviews. Have you happened to see Guy Searle's incredible promo demo for the MyMac.com podcast that he did as some sort of sexy video thing? It's on the right side, on the blog side, about 8 or 10 from the top. It's really great. Nicely done, Guy. Now, in real life, of the 8 or 9 people who are listening to this right now, I'd be lucky if one of them ever wants to do an online spreadsheet. But if you know somebody that wants to do an online spreadsheet, this is the place to do it, at spreadsheet.google.com. Just like any spreadsheet in Apple Works or in Microsoft Excel, you can size your columns, you can put in formulas, you can do calculations, you can sort, you can average, you've got formatting and formulas and copying and cutting and pasting and undoing and redoing. It's a real, honest-to-goodness spreadsheet that Google hosts forever, and it's just waiting there. It auto-saves every time you make a calculation or add an entry. I've only been using this now for about 2 or 3 weeks since we've come up with this solution for our reviews tracking chart. But I'm telling you, I am very, very impressed. And my provisional rating is 4.5 out of 5. Now, for those of you who are real number junkies and you really understand what I'm talking about, create your spreadsheet at spreadsheet.google.com. Play around with it. Let me know what you think at nosnooze@gmail.com. And if you have any refinements or suggestions, we can certainly pass those on to our readers. So thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it very much. We hope you've enjoyed another episode, MyMac.com Mini Podcast number 8, Nemo's Reviews You Can Use That Won't Make You Snooze. John Nemo, signing off. Let's go back and eat some chocolate and work on that spreadsheet, Tim.
Oh, I don't know about eating any chocolate. I'm getting fat.
Yeah?
Yeah. As anybody that shows up at the 100 podcast in Grand Rapids is going to see for themselves. I'm getting...
Got a little spreadsheet of your own going.
I've got my own spreadsheet that doesn't need any chocolate to write on it. I'm seriously going to get into working out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to do it. I don't like running and jogging. It's mm-hmm. not my idea of a good time.
So instead you're basically redoing your basement. So
yeah, which just, you know, that's not going to help my gut any. Anyways, though, we're not here to talk about my gut.
No.
Maybe my gut instincts when it comes to Apple.
Mm.
One of the things that we got going on at the MyMac.com podcast or MyMac.com website is, if you need help with your Mac, where do you go? Well, now we have the perfect solution. Simply send an email to tom@mymac.com, and Tom Schmidt will answer your questions, yep. Really. It's the MyMac.com help desk. He had posted number 2 last week, and he's looking for more problems and questions that you, our listeners, and our readers of the website have. So if you have a question, it doesn't have to be just a Mac. It doesn't have to even be a question. It could be, hey, what do I do about this? You know, mm-hmm. I'm looking at buying a new printer. What yep. what features should I look for? Tom would be perfect to answer those type of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So he is, I don't want to say he's desperate. Nobody's desperate here, but he needs content. And people, I found, generally don't feed back to us.
Right.
They don't send us voicemail. Ivan has been. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't send in questions and stuff like that. They simply look for the answers, hope they find it, doing a Google search or something, and then... you know, go on with their day. But who knows who wrote the solution that they found
right.
on some obscure message board somewhere. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make sure you get the correct answers, who better to ask than an Apple specialist?
That's
someone
right.
that does it for a living. That's certified. All you got to do is send an email to tom@mymac.com. He'll be able to help you, and you'll also help him write his own column.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'll answer the questions in not only the email back to you, but in a future column, and you're going to help somebody else out as
That's
well.
That's right.
We've got a lot of new stuff posted up there. Donnie Yankelo is talking about new games for the iPod. Bill Palmer posted up some photos from the Apple event. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I liked watching those. You see, yep. Steve Wozniak came in as his segue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Wozniak is the man. That's all I have to say. He is the man. Donnie Ankala asks, what happened to the education discount on iPods? And the answer, Donnie, is they no longer exist. They're gone. There is no more education discount for iPods. And really, there really shouldn't be. This is not a computer that people need to study with and stuff. This is an iPod. It's an entertainment device.
Yeah.
Why should they have to give? Sony doesn't give an education discount for the PSP. Microsoft isn't giving a discount for the Xbox 360. That's the core demographic. They want to get as much money as possible. Mm-hmm. I don't blame Apple for getting rid of the discount for the iPod.
Yeah.
Bakari talks about the new visual mode in iTunes, looking at album art as you're browsing through, which is, I know you haven't downloaded the
latest.
I did notice that the new iTunes icon in your dock mm-hmm. is blue. Like it was when iTunes first came out.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I went, oh, they went retro. That's cool. I'm a geek like that. I noticed a little stupid stuff like that. Maxpiration 51, control another Mac remotely for free. That's a really good article from Donnie.
Yep.
Chad Perry, some guy has named Chad Perry. Any relation to you?
I know him. Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote a review for the Marware Protection Pack for MacBook.
Yep.
That's you use that. I'm looking at it right now on your MacBook.
Yeah.
I don't like the look of it.
No?
No, I really don't. I think it looks kind of... It detracts from the attractiveness of your MacBook. I don't like it.
So, see, but to me, it's so ubiquitous, I just don't even know it's there anymore.
Yeah, I know. I do. I see it and I go, ugh. That thing is ugly. I don't like it, but... I don't have to like it because it's not on my machine.
That's right.
I posted up a short article about all the new Apple products that were released on the 12th. We do have a new thumbnails from Donnie Yankelo. 10.5 days, kind of a take on 30 days.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to seeing the new ones out there. Bakari has a review of the print shop for Mac. Interesting. It's nothing that I think I'm going to be rushing out to buy myself, but a lot of people have graphic needs and they don't necessarily need Photoshop. And,
or Illustrator.
Or Illustrator, yeah. So that might be a good solution for them.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we want to thank SmallDog.com for sponsoring the podcast and sending Chad and I to college.
Yeah. Right. And in our
a couple of middle-aged guys going to college on advertising revenue.
We don't get that much advertising.
No.
And we also like to thank InnoTech for hosting us.
If you have a company that would like to advertise on the podcast, simply send me an email, me being Tim Robertson, at tim@mymac.com or publisher at mymac.com. They both get to me.
And if you just like to leave a comment with us, you can do so on our Skype 800 line. That number is 1-801-938-5559, and we'll put you on just like we did with Ivan.
That's right. And thanks a lot, Ivan. You're more than welcome to call anytime. You know what? He's not that far away. We ought to, the Skype actually had his phone number listed this time.
Mm.
We ought to reverse look it up, get his address, and go over there and surprise him and do a podcast right there.
Right from Ivan's
house. Right from Ivan's house. Knock, knock on the door.
Ivan, come on, you're a special guest host.
Somebody answers, yells back to him, Ivan, there's a couple of fat white guys out here for you.
That's right.
Yeah, that's us, a couple of fat white guys. So that's the show this week. We liked recording it. We hope you like listening to it. It's a little longer than we're used to, but of course we absorbed the mini show this week. And we'll go back to our regular schedule, two shows. Next week is 99, which is going to be all about our 100th podcast.
And then on the 23rd, we will be recording 100 from the Apple Store in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yep, and we're probably going to break that out into a couple different shows. We'll see how it works, how much content we actually get recorded.
Yeah.
We just have no idea what's going to happen. I can't wait to meet Guy Searle. We're going to meet him on Friday, the day before.
Yep.
And Guy and I are actually going to interview, at least it's scheduled to interview, the publisher of Low End Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So that ought to be pretty good. Dan Knight, if you didn't know. What else? What else do we got to... It seems like we're missing something, and I just cannot think what it is. We're about a half hour over our limit when it comes to... Actually, real time, recording time, and Chad's wife's probably downstairs going, what are they doing up there so long? And my stomach is growling because I've been doing plumbing all day and I haven't eaten yet. So
yeah.
I think we're going to wrap it up. Please give us some feedback. We really, really enjoy it. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.